Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. We got a lot going on this morning. We've been doing the Journey to Pentecost series, and guess what today is? Today is Pentecost Sunday. We have arrived, so to speak. So Pastor Rich's sermon is going to come from Acts 2, 1 through 13. However, I'm going to read up until the first part of verse 17. And then I'm going to read Psalm 67, which is not part of the sermon, but it just shows how important this topic is or what's happening, how important it is to God. Okay? So, in Acts chapter 2, it comes under the heading, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, right? Pentecost in the Old Testament is like the festival of the harvest, right? And today we're going to see, in Acts chapter 2, there's a spiritual harvest. As you get deeper into it, you see that many people responded to Peter's sermon. They repented, they were baptized, and, you know, God added like 3,000 to the church, right? So there's a spiritual harvest that's happening, not necessarily part of today's sermon. But let me go ahead and read Acts 2. Remember, the sermon is going to cover up to verse 13, but I'm going to the first part of 17. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And this will be key to when I read Psalm 67. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of our God in our own tongues or in our own languages," right? Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Okay, so that's verse 13. Let me go on just a little bit further. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people." So Peter is showing how this day of Pentecost is a fulfillment or the beginning of the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, where the Spirit is going to be poured out on God's people and he's going to talk about this later. But I wanted to read Psalm 67 because here we have God-fearing Jews from pretty much around the known world at the time, right? And in Acts 1:8, it talks about how the gospel was going to spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? So in Jerusalem and Judea, you have Jews. Samaria, you have mixed blood, half Jew, half Gentile, right? And then the uttermost parts of the world, you have the Gentiles. So God has taken his message to the Jews first, to the half Jews, and then to the Gentiles. But this was always God's plan. Let me read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. And this is verse 2. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. Okay, we talked about Pentecost being a spiritual harvest, right? Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. That is the reading of God's word. But it shows how the Gentiles were always part of God's plan to receive salvation. But first, it was going to start with God's people, the Jews. And Paul talks about this, you know, in Romans as well. But anyway, we're seeing the gospel unleashed. We're seeing the Spirit poured out. And as Pastor Rich is going to talk, this all means that you can lead an empowered life. Amen. Pastor Rich.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my friends. We've been on a journey together over these past weeks, tracing the incredible story of God's redemptive plan. We've seen how it all began with the promise to Abraham, a promise that through all his descendants, all nations would be blessed. We witnessed the mighty hand of God as he led his people out of slavery in Egypt, demonstrating his power and faithfulness. We saw the prophetic vision of the Valley of Dry Bones coming to life, a vision of hope and restoration that pointed to God's desire to breathe new life into his people. We walked alongside Jesus on the road to Emmaus, where hearts burned as he opened the scriptures and revealed himself as the fulfillment of every promise. We felt the tension and the triumph of the ascension as Jesus returned to the Father, reminding the disciples that the story wasn't ending, but just beginning. And last week, we stood in the tension of the in-between, the waiting room of God's promises, where the disciples prayed and prepared for the coming of the Spirit. And now we're here. Pentecost, the culmination of every promise and prophecy. The fulfillment of Jesus' words that the Spirit would come and clothe his followers with power. The waiting is over. God moves. The Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, is poured out, not just to make a statement, but to ignite a movement. The church is born in fire and wind, and from that moment, nothing would ever be the same. Today, we celebrate Pentecost and remember the ongoing reality of the Spirit's power in our lives. The same Spirit that fell on that day is available to us right now, equipping and empowering us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So let's lean in and remember that Pentecost is not only a past event, it's a present invitation. Now, for this morning, I'm going to ask everyone to pull out their Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. In this chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can follow along on the TV screen. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Again, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now, the first point I want to make from these verses today is that the promise is fulfilled. The promise is fulfilled. Let us look at Acts chapter 2, verse 2 again. "Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." The arrival of the Holy Spirit was not an accident or an unexpected surprise. It was the fulfillment of a promise straight from the mouth of Jesus. Just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the Spirit descended on Pentecost, it was a powerful confirmation that Jesus' words were true and reliable. In that upper room, the disciples were not left wondering if God would keep his word. They were witnesses to his faithfulness as the wind of the Spirit rushed in and the tongues of fire rested on each of them. Just as God had once led Israel through the wilderness with a pillar of fire, guiding and protecting them, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, he now descended in tongues of fire, marking his presence and power in a new way. The fire of Pentecost was more than just a sign. It was a declaration that God's presence would no longer be confined to temples or specific places. The Spirit would now dwell in his people, empowering them to fulfill their mission. Pentecost serves as a powerful reminder we serve a God who keeps his promises. Amen? Amen. When God says he will move, he does. And his timing is always perfect. Maybe you're in a season right now of waiting, wondering when or if God will act. Pentecost reminds us that God's Spirit will move in power when the time is right. Our role is to remain faithful, to trust, and to be prepared for when that moment comes. Are you waiting in faith? Like the disciples? Or are you doubting whether God will come through? Let Pentecost remind you, he is faithful and his Spirit still moves today. Now let this truth inspire you. And the second part of today's message is, the Spirit empowers bold proclamation. The Spirit empowers bold proclamation. Let us reread Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." You see, when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, it wasn't just an awe-inspiring spectacle. It was a mission-launching event. The same men and women who had been hiding behind locked doors just weeks earlier were now proclaiming the mighty works of God with boldness and clarity. The Spirit empowered them to speak in languages they had never learned, making it possible for the diverse crowd in Jerusalem to hear the gospel in their own tongues. Luke tells us that there were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, Acts chapter 2, verse 5, gathered together in Jerusalem. As the disciples began to speak, the crowd was bewildered because each one heard their own language being spoken, Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Some were amazed and asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of us hears them in our native language? Acts chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. This is significant because God could have chosen to work through one language or one culture, but instead, he demonstrated that his message was for everyone. The miracle of Pentecost wasn't just about the phenomenon of speaking in tongues. It was about the message of Jesus reaching the entire world. The nations listed in Acts chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, nations like Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and more, represent the vast diversity of the known world at that time. This miraculous event was a direct reversal of the confusion of language at Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. At Babel, human pride caused division and scattered people through language. At Pentecost, God's grace brought unity through the Spirit, allowing the gospel to bridge the language barrier and unite diverse people in Christ. Pentecost wasn't only about bold proclamation. It was also about building something entirely new. As the disciples spoke in different languages, God wasn't just demonstrating his power. He was signaling a new reality. The church was being born, not as a single isolated group, but as a global, Spirit-filled family united by the gospel. Which leads us to the third part of today's message. The church is born for the nations. The church is born for the nations. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, that we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Again, at the Tower of Babel, in Genesis chapter 11, humanity's pride led to division and confusion as God scattered the nations by confusing their languages. But here at Pentecost, God was reversing that effect, uniting people from every nation through the gospel. You see, what sin had fractured, God's Spirit was now uniting. Pentecost is not just the birth of the church, it's the birth of a global church. People from every corner of the known world heard the wonders of God declared in their own language. This miraculous gathering was not just about communication, it was about a new community. The disciples had started in a small upper room praying and waiting. Now their mission was expanding beyond anything they could have ever imagined. This reality is further confirmation of ancient prophecy. We read in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 about the Spirit being poured out, and later in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, it says this: "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" My friends, let me put it like this. Pentecost calls us to embrace the diversity of God's people and to recognize that the gospel is not just for us. It's for everyone. The same Spirit that brought unity at Pentecost is still working to bring people from every tribe, tongue, and nation into God's family. Are we willing to break out of our comfort zones to share the gospel beyond our own circles? Are we ready to celebrate the beautiful diversity of the body of Christ, knowing that God calls people from every background and every language? Pentecost is a powerful reminder that the church is not limited by borders. It's not limited by cultures. It is born for the nations. Amen? Amen. You know, Pentecost was not just a one-time event. It was the launch of a movement that continues today. The same Spirit that filled the disciples in the upper room fills us now. The same power that gave them boldness and courage is available to us every single day. But Pentecost challenges us with a question. Are we living empowered lives? Are we living empowered lives? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us? Or are we still waiting in fear and doubt? And if you are waiting in fear and doubt, why? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. The Spirit does not just give us goosebumps or stir our emotions. The Spirit equips us to go out and make disciples, to proclaim the gospel with clarity and courage, and to build a community that reflects God's heart for the nations. So what can we take away from today's message? Well, first, live empowered. Live empowered. The Spirit is not just for special occasions or extraordinary moments. He is with us in the mundane and the miraculous. Surrender daily to the Spirit's guidance and allow Him to fill you afresh. Number two, boldly proclaim. Boldly proclaim. Just as the disciples didn't keep the message to themselves, we must not hide our faith. Whether it's in conversation with friends, sharing our story, or simply living with integrity, let your life and words reflect the hope that you have in Christ. And number three, embrace the global mission. Pentecost reminds us that the gospel is for every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Let's break out of our comfort zones and intentionally reach out to those who are different from us. The Spirit unites us in diversity, and the church is called to reflect that unity. Today, as we celebrate Pentecost, may we be stirred with a passion to live empowered by the Spirit. Let us be a church that boldly proclaims the name of Jesus and embraces our calling to take the gospel to the world. Let us reflect upon His message. God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.